Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here. It's wonderful to have so many guests today. Thank you for coming. We consider it a privilege to have you here with us. And we ask God's blessing upon you, and we want to minister to you and in any way that we can. We're looking through the Gospel of Luke these days, and we're in Luke chapter 18. And we're going to begin this morning in verse 31. We have a new little one among us, making her presence known a little bit. Hey, Dad, you want to stand up and introduce her? Congratulations. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 31. And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. Everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what he said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Sometimes when we know we have a difficult thing ahead of us, we need to do something that's hard, we put it off as long as possible. We need to have a conversation with the boss or a subordinate or maybe a child or maybe a parent, a friend. We know it's going to be difficult, so we tend to put those things off. We have a difficult decision that has to be made, but we don't want to make it. We know it's going to involve repercussions, whatever we decide. So we put it off. Well, the problem with putting things off is that, first of all, you might not ever get around to doing the important things you need to do. Secondly, when we postpone pain, when we postpone difficulty, oftentimes we can make it worse. We can make things worse. And another thing is, if we just get it over with, that we can begin the healing now instead of later. Now, I'm not saying to be thoughtless in how we approach difficulties or problems. I think we need to approach problems not with a knee-jerk reaction, but being led as believers by the Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes says, "There's a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weigh heavily upon him." But we need to be careful not to put things off, not to put off doing the difficult things, because putting them off prolongs the pain and often makes things more difficult to deal with. When we put off a problem, it becomes much more difficult than dealing with it in a timely manner. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus has been heading to Jerusalem. He had started in Luke chapter 9, as we follow the progression of Luke's gospel. He determined to go toward Jerusalem, but the trip was not like a straight line. It was kind of meandering here and there for a while, but he was moving toward Jerusalem, but he was getting close to Jerusalem. Now, he had not procrastinated, because he knew at the Passover he would face his ultimate destiny. But now Jesus was getting very close to Jerusalem. It was near, and his destiny was just a few days away. All the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all of them point to this event, to Jesus taking his apostles to the side and informing them of what was going to happen. You see, he with determined purpose was headed to his destiny of the cross. And he sought to prepare his apostles for that. They were kind of oblivious to the whole thing, even though he had told them at least twice before. But Jesus knew, even though it was the most difficult thing he would ever face in his human existence, he with a determined purpose headed toward his destiny of the cross. And I think from what we read here about Jesus and in this passage of Scripture, we can learn this about how to deal with difficulties. We need to walk toward and not away from the difficult challenges of life. Jesus was walking toward Jerusalem. He was walking in faith. And as we observe his journey, first of all, we see this. Walk through the difficult challenges of life knowing that God will see you through. Walk through the difficult challenges of life knowing that God will see you through. Jesus, as he was nearing Jerusalem, informed his apostles of what was to come. He took them aside and he told them, this was at least the third time he informed them of the cross. And every time, and in this time, he adds a little bit more description, a little bit more graphic detail of what was coming. He says, see, we are going up to Jerusalem. Everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. He will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. A simple explanation of what was coming. He informed them that everything written by the Old Testament prophets in God's word would come true. What is written stands written. It will happen. Jesus was always reinforcing the trustworthiness of the Scripture and the reliability of the Old Testament. He always did that. You know, we often think of the Pharisees as kind of legalistic people who just looked at the Old Testament and interpreted that way. But really, that's not true about them. They actually moved away from the Old Testament and imposed their traditions above it and upon it. So they weren't actually focused on the Word of God, but Jesus was, because he knew that the Word of God was life. He knew that man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so he reinforced its trustworthiness. He told his apostles what would happen, and more detail. He said he would, we're going to Jerusalem, and he says, the Son of Man will be delivered over into the hands of Gentiles. Now, that had not been shared in the other times that Jesus had told his apostles about this. He said, the Son of Man was going to be handed over to the Gentiles. And I think Luke wants us to understand, and as he put this in, and as the Holy Spirit inspired this, he wants us to understand that all humanity had a part in the crucifixion of Jesus. Not just Jews, all humanity. He said he's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. And that would probably bring a shock to whoever really understood it. Because you see, this was the Messiah of Israel. The one who would save Israel from the Gentiles. And Jesus said, they're going to hand him over to the Gentiles. They said he would be mocked, shamefully treated, spit upon. He'd be delivered, mocked, shamefully treated, and spit upon. This would happen to him. And the verbs are passive, which means someone else is doing it to him. And then there's an active verb here. He's going to be flogged. The Gentiles, the people are going to flog him and kill him. An active participle, an active verb. They're going to flog him and they're going to kill him. They're going to be involved in this horrific crime. But then he uses a different word at the very end, you see, because Jesus was not a passive victim. He went to the cross to save us from our sins. He went there willingly on our behalf. And it says on the third day, he will rise again. And it's a middle verb. And you're saying, why are you getting into all this crummy Greek stuff and all this, you know, why are you even telling us that? Because it indicates to us that Jesus had the power to raise himself from the dead. I buried a lot of people. None of them have ever had the power to raise himself from the dead. But Jesus did. Jesus was not a passive victim. He was a victor over sin and death. Yes, he was going to lay down his life. He was going to shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven, but he was going to raise himself from the dead. He was not the victim of evil men, but a victor over sin and death. Now notice something about the apostles. They just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. They could not grasp the plain language of Jesus. Now I think if you asked them, they probably could have repeated what he said to them. I don't think it was that. I think they just misunderstood what the Messiah was all about. They misunderstood the coming of the Messiah. They had their preconceived ideas about what his kingdom would be like, that he would immediately set up a rule and reign, and he would destroy all the Romans and the Gentile rulers. They misunderstood what the kingdom of Messiah was all about. They misunderstood that the Messiah had to suffer. That they didn't understand Passover, what it actually meant to them and to all generations, that the blood of the perfect Lamb of God would have to be shed so that our sins could be forgiven. And so they could have repeated these words, but they just could not grasp what they meant. And it wasn't hidden language. It's plain, it's straight out. Sometimes our misunderstanding of Scripture comes because we just have cultural or personal prejudices of interpreting it, and we can't see what it really means. We can't see what it really means. And so that's why we always need to pray, Lord, help me to see you as you are. Help me to see what your word really means and not just what I want it to mean. Yes, Jesus knew the cross was coming. He marched, so to speak, without flinching, with a determined purpose. He would go to the cross. But he also knew that he would rise again. Sin, death, separation, despair would not have the last word. It would not have the last word. He would rise again. And he walked toward the difficult challenges of his life. And so should we. We should walk toward those difficult things that we need to do with in life. We should prayerfully, thoughtfully look at each situation we must deal with. We ought to pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in dealing with difficult situations. We should not knee-jerk when a difficult rises up. You know, most of the times, if I do initially what I want to do when some great problem comes my way, it will be the wrong thing. It will be a reaction, and I won't be led by God's Spirit. But we should seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit in dealing with the difficulties, but we should not put off and run from the difficulties, but walk toward them, knowing God's Spirit will guide us and see us through. Walk toward the difficult challenges of life, knowing that God will see you through. You see, God's going to use everything in your life and my life and the life of his people for our good. Now, we might not always be able to see that, even after it's over, even in this life, but it's going to be for our good. Right? Walk toward the difficulties of life, knowing that God will see you through. Jesus was walking toward Jerusalem and walking toward the cross, but there's something else I want to point out to you as he walked toward this difficult thing that was going to happen to him. Walk toward the difficult challenges of life, but don't miss the opportunities that will come to you on the way. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, there was a blind beggar on the roadside and begging. That's how he made his living. That's the only way a blind person could make a living in those days. That's how we survive. Well, as Jesus was walking on this roadway, he heard, this man was begging on the road. The blind man heard the crowd, and he knew something different was taking place. This was not the normal routine of his life to hear this crowd and this hustle and bustle that were coming toward him. And so he asked those in the crowd, "What's happening?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." Now, when this blind beggar found this out, he cried out, he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, that's quite a statement from a blind beggar. Now, they had told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, which was just a description of Jesus and where he was from, basically, who he was. But when he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This blind beggar recognized Jesus as Messiah because he used a messianic title for him. Jesus was the Son of David. He was the Messiah that was to come. Those in power didn't believe Jesus was the Son of David. They did not recognize him. But now this poor blind beggar said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You're the Messiah. You can do something about my situation." That's interesting. That's the way Luke shows us. When you read through the gospel, it's always those who should know don't, and those who were kind of on the outcast and Gentiles and maybe had lived sinful lives, they got it. This blind beggar got it. He recognized Jesus. And the people in the crowd that, you know, Jesus was walking along, they said, "Be quiet. You know, quit making a scene." Did that stop him? No, it made him just get louder. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In fact, the language used is like he shrieked it out. He shouted it out. He was louder than he had been before. He would not miss his opportunity. He would not be silent. Look what Jesus did. It says in verse 40, Jesus stopped and he commanded him to be brought to him. Jesus stopped and said, "Bring him to him." You guys are probably too young to remember the old Ralph Carmichael song. Right there in the dust, he sat by the gate to listen to footsteps and patiently wait. The blind man just didn't dream that this was the day that Jesus of Nazareth would pass by his way. Something good is going to happen to you this very day. Happen to you. Something good is going to happen to you, Jesus of Nazareth, passing your way. You know, Jesus was passing by, and the blind beggar was not going to miss his opportunity. You know something? I want you to understand something. Whenever the people of God gather, Jesus is in their midst. He is. He's in their midst. He's among us by the person of his Holy Spirit. I don't believe we're just meeting here without his presence. He promised his presence. He is here. Don't miss what he wants to do in your life today. Well, the man who, though he was blind, saw that Jesus was Messiah, was brought to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man said, "Lord, I want to recover my sight. Let me recover my sight." And then Jesus basically said to him, it's translated in the ESV, "Recover your sight," but basically it's one word, "See." See. And then he said, "Your faith has made you well." Just one word. That's all it took for Jesus to do something in this man's life, for him to regain his sight. And the man not only recovered his sight, but he was saved. In fact, the language he uses is language frequently used by Luke to talk about salvation. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well. You see, the man knew who Jesus was and he believed in him. and he confessed him, and his faith had made him well. And he not only recovered his sight, he found his purpose in life of following Jesus. And the scripture says immediately he began to follow Jesus. He began to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus was on his way to the cross, the most difficult thing in life he was going to face. He knew exactly what was ahead of him and what was exactly going to happen to him in his future. He was walking toward the difficulty, but he didn't miss the opportunity to touch someone on the way. You know, sometimes when I have an opportunity, I'm all consumed by that. That's all I can think of. And a lot of times that's why I do the wrong thing, because I'm not thinking it through, I'm not praying it through. But that's all I can think of. I get all wrapped up in it. And I walk past the needs of others, but don't do that. You see, God will help you deal with that difficulty, and he'll help you on the journey till you got to deal with that difficulty. Don't get so wrapped in the difficulties that are happening in your life that you forget that God still wants you to use you to bless others. Sometimes it's even in those opportunities that God gives us an extra strength to deal with what we will face. He gives us an extra friend, an extra helper. You see, it's amazing to me that the blind man immediately began to follow Jesus. Now, he was following him to Jerusalem. He was going to see that Palm Sunday where all would confess he's the son of David. But he was also going to see him being arrested and mocked and spit on and flogged and crucified. In fact, in Mark's gospel, we learn the name of this guy. His name is Bartimaeus. He became a follower of Jesus close enough to the apostle that Mark's gospel records his name. He became a follower of Jesus. He became a supporter of Jesus. He became one who lived for Jesus. Because Jesus didn't miss the opportunity. You see, you can be facing something, but if you will still say, God, use me whatever I face. Don't let me get so wrapped up in myself that I forget to see what you're doing all around me. Don't miss the opportunities in your path even as you walk toward difficult things. Don't put off dealing with opportunities. But don't put off dealing with those too, but don't put off dealing with difficulties in your life. Seek the leading of God's Spirit and walk toward those difficulties, knowing that God will see you through. You see, we don't have to be a victim in the difficult things we face in life. We can be a victor through Jesus Christ. In fact, we already are. Walk toward those difficulties, but don't miss the opportunities that will come your way as you walk toward them. God will use you in those opportunities and maybe even give you a loyal friend. Walk toward and not away from difficult challenges, and you'll see how great Almighty God is and how he can use everything for our good and for his glory. Father, we love you and we thank you for your love today for us. And we do thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, you walked toward the cross. Lord, you knew what was coming. You knew the shame of it. And you walked toward that shame for us. But you also you walked toward it because you knew the joy that was set before you. Oh, Lord, help us to know that whatever we're facing, whatever difficulty anyone has here today, in their family life, Lord, in their financial life or their work life, Lord, help them to know that they can face it through you and you're going to see them through and they're going to see you work in it and through it and by it. God, help us. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't shirk the cross. Lord, even though you even though it was the harmful, most hurtful. Lord, you prayed for it to be removed, but your Father said no. You faced it for us. You faced it for the glory of God. Oh, Lord, help us to face the tough things we have in life and not to fear them. Lord, we're going to face tougher things. Lord, we're becoming, living in a world that's more hostile to you in many ways than the world we lived in a few years ago. Help us to be true to you. Help us to be faithful. Help us not to avoid the tough stuff, but to let you guide us through everything that will come. Lord, speak life to those who need you. Speak help to those who need a sense of your presence and your power today. Work in our lives that we might become more like Jesus. It is in his name that I pray. Amen.